So we talked a little bit on stage when we connect story girls. Again, it starts with this network and these specific services on top. Lots of stuff we've done working on about 25 years. So the challenge. So the challenges that I was describing a minute ago is how do you enable, normally if it weren't today's recent news events and climate, we'd be talking about you're shooting in London, you're posting in LA, your visual effects are in Vancouver, or your director happens to be in New York because he's already on an event project, right? Things are a little bit different now, right? So we used to say travel's unavoidable, and now you can see might have to be avoided, right? Who knows? I don't know where we're gonna be. But we're more working today, right? Like I was saying on stage earlier that all of us have access to Slack, Google Docs, some version of BlueJeans, GoToMeeting, Zoom, whatever, and it's pretty ordinary for us to work remotely, right? From your house, from Starbucks, from your hotel. Some of the things we talk about today are, we're still not there at the Starbucks hotel level, but it does mean we can get there for most productions around the world. So how is the problem solved for the last 10 years, right? If you're a creative, are there any creatives in the room? Any? No? Yes? No? Most people in the room are post people in the room? All right, visual effects? All right, production? The rest of you must be just distributions. Nothing wrong with that. You guys make up mine. All right, this is what every creative thinks a remote workflow looks like. So we're talking about Avid or Baselight or Resolve or Flame or whatever your creative tool is, right? And what they think is, you know, they're in London, in this example, and someone else is in Hollywood, and it just kind of works, right? The reality is there's an entire IT industry for this. So today what happens is you take standard PC gear, right? So a TVIPS unit, a Streambox unit, there's some firewall steps that have to happen. There's a whole network path that has to happen, right? These things, you know, when you watch football at home, or sports, or the Oscars, whatever, on Hulu, you notice right away that you're delayed about 30 seconds, right? And a lot of that delay is the CDN infrastructure, right? The content delivery network. But some of that delay is just the buffering in your phone and the buffering that you need to manage so you don't miss frames. The last thing you want while you're watching the show is that frame drop out. What we're trying to accomplish with a real-time workflow like this is the opposite. You want no buffering. The only buffer we want is the speed of light, right? To do that, you need a clean network. So this network path, if you have, is everyone know what jitter is? Old engineering school stuff. Jitter is when the packets arrive in the wrong order. Okay, you can get jitter from the AP player, frankly. And then you have latency and contention, right? So classic network stuff where you're on the internet and everything seems great, and then your neighbor or someone else in your street starts downloading a bunch of stuff and you see your own bandwidth right now, right? Clearly, if you were in the middle of a session like this on a Sunday night a few years ago when Game of Thrones was distributed, internet gets wrong, right? The way you would counter that again is buffering. So this seems easy enough, right? It's not that many things, you get it set up, it's like a project workflow. This is kind of what has to happen. It's a lot of crap, right? And this is proper IT geek level stuff of there's not that many guys who do it. Frankly, it's not a lot of fun, right? This is the harder part. You have to hope all the shit works again the next day. Because here's what typically happens in most of the companies in our industry. You put something in place, and it's there for a moment. And then right behind you, some other project that your post house, your visual effects house, your studio is working on, also is competing for the same resources. And suddenly, there's a new firewall rule with a new network path. And what you put in place yesterday doesn't work. So, how do we get around that problem today? Is we put a lot of people, in the office at like 6 a.m. So if you take some major studios in town, they might have somewhere between 5 and 10 people who do nothing but this, meaning they come to work and they know a high-end producer or a high-end director is going to be in town, and they might want to review the content even though the guys are working on it in London. So they set up a stage, you know, a theater, right? They set up a projector. They set up the Avid Baselight, whatever tool they're using. And they go through all this work, make sure the network path works, just in case that person wants to go to work, which seems like a lot of insanity, right? And it is. So what we can do differently, if you think about this problem, is instead of attacking this as if it's a one-off project every time, of which you're doing hundreds, you know, a year for sure, depending on what post house, visual effects house, et cetera, you're at, and trying to make sure it all works and checking it every day, is actually build it as an ecosystem. So instead of going, look, I'm going to buy a piece of gear, I'm going to manually set that up with a network and a firewall to make it secure, why don't we go at it differently and say, let's create a secure ecosystem. And each device joins an ecosystem, and once it navigates how to join the secure ecosystem once, it's forever monitored, and if something happens, like the device craps out, the network craps out, the firewall changes, everyone knows real time, right? Instead of waiting until an hour before your VID comes up. So the general concept is that, right? You can imagine that what you're trying to do now is take an appliance that is always on, so to speak, always giving a heartbeat signal, running a video path, and essentially the second problem we're trying to solve in the middle of the reflector is how do you push that data efficiently? Today, if we have three people in the previous example, when you do this, you're actually pushing two times the video streams, right? In the 2K workflow, that's like 300 megabits. It doesn't seem like a lot. It can be a lot if it's 600 megabits. When you get to a 4K workflow, that can be 800 megabits up to a gig per stream, right? All right, and then you have this other problem. How do I get other people involved? And this is probably the hardest part of anyone's equation, which is there's always that one executive who's like, look, I'm at con this week, and so I want to join my iPad, right? Of course it is. Why would it? So it's a harder piece. If you don't build a secure ecosystem, you can't get there. Clearly you need encryption. So the one challenging part of the last 10 years has been you're using these off-the-shelf devices that you buy from a corporate company, but they built a device level security. No one has built an ecosystem level security. A lot of them don't have any encryption at all. They don't carry any sense of state, so they don't have audit logs that last forever, those kind of things. And you can imagine, if you have a breach, the breach won't be the day it happens. The breach is going to be some period of time after, because no one's that stupid. All right, so somebody who's somehow captured part of your stream, they're going to wait a few days and then post it, and then you're going to be running around mad trying to figure out security match. So these are some of the weird challenges that you're trying to solve. You're trying to solve these firewall changes, the preparation, and the number of receivers, right? And this is what we today have in place, and I can give you some of the things. So this is, think about if you're trying to solve a problem where you're showing 4K, 12-bit, how many video engineers are in the room? So 4K is what your TV shows today, right? 12-bit would be max. Your TV's only showing 10 today because the HDMI cable won't carry 4K and 12-bit. You can get 4K and 10-bit, 2K and 12-bit. Dolby has some really cool signs on how they get around that with some metadata push. Chroma sampling for all the non-color scientists in the room. When you look at your laptop, this one's probably crappier than yours, but if you're looking at a laptop, it's a 420 8-bit. That 8-bit defines the color depth, how many bits of character is in color. And the 420 is color chroma, which means in a pixel line, we're sampling pixels. You aren't getting all the data from all the pixels in 420. Newsflash, that's broadcast quality. Newsflash, that's all this device will do, right? Some of the higher-end, newer Apple devices, the Sheets Creator Mac, will do 422. It won't do 444. Right? Imagine if you're color grading now for your amazing $100 million feature, you need to do 444. So it's a lot of science you have to try to figure out how to solve, and a device ecosystem problem you have, which is not every device can display what you're trying to do. And then this creates a data problem. What we have tried to focus on, and this is what we, when I think of the problem that the world has, I think of this problem. Right? High quality is a given because you're color grading your special feature, but the real thing that we can help solve is getting hassle out of the system. Right? You want the confidence, just like you have at work today, where you come in and fire up Slack or Instagram or whatever, 99.9% of the time it just works, and you feel confident about scheduling. So any Blue Jeans or Zoom users in the room? It's not very often that you go to click on your meeting and open the session and it doesn't work. It does happen. But most of the time, you're not worried 10 minutes before the meeting that your Blue Jeans or your go-to meeting session is not going to work. All right? That has a three-part, and then obviously security, we talked about a few minutes ago. The thing I would say about this is you can imagine the work in our industry on pre-production or pre-release content, I should say. So anything that hasn't yet been out on the street, an incredible amount of concern, buffer factor, I would call it, around that content being pushed from point to point, just in general. So we have customers in our more flexible version of stuff where we can push it to an iPad, and we have customers who don't want to push it to an iPad because, by definition, an iPad can be in Starbucks or in front of your kids or whatever, right? But on the security piece, what you want to do is create a security system, because then people can audit your security ecosystem and you know it works right every time, right? All right, what's that look like? Right, everyone use Skype? I find it interesting that, you guys know this, we still use a telephone to describe that we're gonna initiate a call, right? My son's 16, almost 17, when I showed this to him, he was like, what does that mean? That white, what is it? I was like, what do you mean, what is it? It's a handset. You know, he's like, this? What is this, Dad? What is... Anyway, obviously the world has changed, but we still today call, when you initiate a Blue Jeans session, a GoToMeeting, Zoom, you call it a call, for lack of a better word. It's still a word we use. And ironically, at least in our testing, that home is the most identifiable thing in our generation. I don't know what's going to happen when the younger filmmakers become more involved in the process. We're going to have to figure out what the symbol of our phone is. But you can imagine what you're trying to get to, instead of this IT world where you're pounding in IP addresses, you're checking the switch settings are the same, and the same bit rate, the same audio codec, all that kind of stuff. You've changed your paradigm now where you're letting software do all that work for you.